The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Now, it's been a certain amount of controversy. There always has been controversy, in fairness, about leaving cert or inter cert, but particularly junior cert, but particularly leaving cert students going away after the leaving. Well, a woman who's seen a fair bit of wild time in her own life had cause to be shocked when she meant to Magaluf in Mallorca or Mallorca.
Mallorca.
Mallorca recently. Mary Coughlin, good morning to you. Your son Cian was there and he asked you out.
Yeah, it was, you know, and very unfortunate. I know that some people have taken out of context something I've said on my FB page, my Facebook page, and it was kind of... It's not the worst phone call, which was apparently a lot of people took raised objection. It was not the worst phone call you could receive in the middle of the night. In retrospect, it was probably the best phone call,
of course,
because it has been a huge wake up call for me and many, many people, and it's been on national and in the UK, and it's been all over the media. He phoned me at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, please get me out of here. I can't, you know, handle it, you know, which was, in retrospect, a really brave thing for him to do.
What a very sane thing to do.
Sane thing to do. Yes. And in the following few hours, what happened was, I'll never know, but it ended up in his passport being shredded into pieces and thrown out of a balcony of flats with his suitcase. And he found himself on his own, and he phoned the mammy. So I went down. I tried to ring the travel agent, the travel company, 16 phone calls registered to them, emails. I phoned the hotel that they were staying in called Mallorca Rocks, which is one of the biggest complexes down there. And it became apparent to me in the next 24 hours that he had paid a deposit with all the boys he was down there with last September when he was 16 with a huge tour operator in Ireland and the UK. And you're not allowed to enter those contracts till you're 18. However, they never asked him for his proof of birth date, you know. So anyways, I went there. I eventually got on. I had a lot of help from the Department of Foreign Affairs because he could drink and do what he liked when he was down there, but he couldn't leave the country without his passport.
Yeah.
And because he was 17, he had to have a parent.
He's a minor. Yeah.
He's a minor. So, yeah, everything that you read in the papers is true, and everything is, it's unreal down there.
There's yeah, just street. Give me, you came off the plane, you wanted to see him, but when you went out on the street, what did you see?
If you could think about Temple Bar back in the good old days when it was at the height of its thing, except 100 million times worse, plus the heat and the lack of clothing.
What do you mean by the lack of clothing?
Really, really. Well, everybody, all the guys were going around, you know, in their bare chests and everything, and the girls were, a lot of women, a lot of young girls, probably as young as 15 or 16, were just walking around the streets in little, you know, little bandy tops and thongs and, you know, stuff. But I mean, I never went into a club. But I did, in fact, see videos that he had taken on his phone afterwards of what was going on inside. And it was, like, beyond. One of the things that they do down there, which is particularly dangerous, is the water parks, you know, that families go to
yeah.
in the afternoon with their kids or the whole day. Well, when they empty those parks in the afternoon, you can buy an armband that allows you to go in for 40 euros, drink as much as you can in the 4 hours that you're in there, and use the water park. And you've got like 6,000 teenagers in there drinking off their heads and using the water park.
At least once a year, somebody jumps into an empty swimming pool
yeah.
And dies. Now, I'm not saying that they were all drunk around their dad. I know it happened to a relation of my own, and family has never recovered from it.
Well, you know, I suppose I'm lucky, but like some of the, I went down there, you know, and there's a few of them sitting on the wall with their heads in their hands down between their knees, and such distress. But like when you magnify that, like, I came home on a, you know, Ryanair flight on the Wednesday then, and there were a number of kids there sitting beside us and in the aisle opposite. And they were all coming home early. They all had asked their parents to bring them home early. One of the guys had, from a really, you know, top class school, it doesn't really matter. It has, you know, it's all leaving cert kids.
Well, I saw there. In some of the articles,
he had been roofied. Roofied, they call it, which is they put Rohypnol, which is an anaesthetic type of drug, in your drink, and then you, that's it. Nobody knows what happens for the next 8 hours. There were a number of very young girls crying and with their hoodies wrapped around each other and holding each other. And one of the boys that we knew that went down from Bray was very badly beaten up and had to be hospitalised. And last night I was in West Clare doing a gig, and four parents came to me after the gig and during the intermission and said, we had to get our kids out on Wednesday. They also asked for help. So when you've got like 7,000 Irish children gone off their heads in Magaluf and they're screaming for help, we have to think about what's going on, you know.
Well, I looked up some of the YouTube thing, and I mean, people use the word shocking, like snuff at a lake, but the young woman who had sex with 24 fellas in order to get a free drink. There's an article today from Colette Branner. A lot of people have been writing about it and have been looking at it. And they talk about, you know, surrounded by a baying crowd and egged on by catcalls of a DJ. She's talking about the fellas, they engaged in a sex act with a woman in the middle of a nightclub. And she goes on and she says, but of course, in fact, nobody ever mentions the fellas. What they mention is the one girl.
The girls, yeah.
And people videoing this.
I know, yeah. That's the other aspect of the whole thing. I mean, there's a thing called Snapchat, and two of the mothers last night that I spoke to in Clare said that they became aware of the situation from Snapchat. I know that my kids use it. It's a new thing. Apparently, it's not like Facebook. It's kind of just goes between certain people who are on your, you know, it's not public.
That was the theory behind Facebook as well.
I know, yeah. My other daughter, Claire, works in the horse industry, and she said, if she's a bit older, and she said, if you can imagine it, that there always has to be an alpha male in the herd and there has to be an alpha woman, and she has to be the most beautiful with the, you know, the most beautiful hair, and she has to have her, you know, the most. She said that is what all the girls want, and whether that's notches on your bedpost or the amount of drinks you can drink in an hour or the amount of boys you say you know you've had sex with, that is, and it's the same for boys. They have to be the most outrageous, you know, and goes on. She said it's like a competition, but it's driven by the media, you know, by the internet and stuff.
Why do you think that? Well, I was just thinking of that young girl. She's 18.
Yeah.
And all the jobs that she will never get.
Yeah.
Because of that. Mm. And I mean, they say it is just within a group of people. I don't believe that for 2 seconds.
Because I think the women that I were talking to, they were alerted to it by some other girls who had got Snapchats from Magaluf, you know. Well, their kids are home now too, because they took responsibility and they said, OK, enough is enough. Which is what I find really hard to do nowadays.
To say no.
And I know that a lot of people, because they are under such pressure, and I feel under pressure all of the time. So there's a new iPhone, there's a this, there's a that, you know, that you almost feel that you're depriving them of something if you don't give it to them. And I look to, you know, people like Maureen Gaffney and read the books and look at stuff and what do you do? How are we helped to guide us through this, which is, I think, the biggest generation gap. Like, I was 40 when he was born, and I was 19 when my first daughter was born. So I have had two families in the three generations of us, and I have grandchildren. And I know my eldest daughter is like, what are we going to do when she asks for a mobile phone? We're going to say no for as long as you can, but it's everywhere. it's everywhere, and it's you know, if you have a computer in your house, how can we protect our kids?
Well, now, can I just say about this young woman and the article today, did she know she was going to be filmed, or that Carnage Magaluf was going to publish the footage online and brag about it on Twitter, retweeting messages like, quote, now this is in quote marks, "For the best oral sex games and a whole lot more, get on the at Carnage Magaluf bar crawl."
Well, that's what it's like down there. And it is like that down there. And it is, as he's told me, what happens down there a lot. And there are drugs everywhere. They're not controlled. Nobody knows who you're buying what off. Or I suppose, but it's ultimately the responsibility of parents. And certainly after this week, you can never say you've not heard of Magaluf and what goes on there.
Right.
But it was Ibiza before, you know, we can look to Temple Bar, and people have been saying on social media to me, look, Mary, you know, it's been like that for years. But not on such scale, and we didn't have cameras and we didn't put it on the internet. And you had a sort of a tribe or a group of people that were your friends, that you went through certain rites of passage with.
That you knew would mind you.
That you knew would mind you. And we would always look after. And even when I started in the music business first and going backstage at big events, huge events, you know, festivals, there would be always somebody who'd bring the kid to, you know, the Red Cross or to the St. John's Ambulance. So this guy needs attention, you know. And,
yeah.
And, you know, but this is just like egging each other on to what ends, tragically for some people, in death, you know.
Right.
And this girl, as you said, her life will be, you know. But they very quickly gloss over it. That's what I found too.
Yeah,
you're home for 3 days and it's all off again, you know.
Text.
Yeah. Snapchat.
What kind of reaction did you get yourself? I gather some of it was kind of vicious.
I didn't read it, but I know that when your researcher rang me yesterday, we spoke and he was with me and he, you know, I had said it's the phone call that you don't want to get in the middle of the night. And other women said I had a phone call where my child had been killed.
All right.
In various circumstances. Yeah. I got other things. Well, Mary, I lured a bottle of vodka with you one night. You know, but the thing about that is I was 30 and I was responsible for what I did to myself ultimately, you know, and I've been responsible for also getting sober. But I think when you're 15, 16 and 17, there's so much stuff that's getting pushed at you and that you have to be part of this particular thing or you're no good. It wasn't like that for us. But I know some of my other kids went to Santa Monica, but they were in university when they went.
Yeah.
Down with a gang of girls for a holiday.
Yeah.
And that place is like Disneyland compared to this place.
Really?
Yeah. And I stayed on the island for 3 days afterwards because we had to file police reports and get assistance, consular assistance to get a passport, emergency papers. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Like we went 20 miles to the other side, you know.
Right.
And you know, walked around the old town, the old walls, beautiful Moorish castles and, you know.
Yeah.
And it was possible for him to appreciate that. And, you know, so it brings me back to my responsibility and my lack boundaries around what is proper and what is not proper. And it shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Did he get grief from any of his mates for having rung you?
I think that was most of the problem, in fact, you know, which would leave you asking the question, what kind of mates are they in the first place? But when you throw 4,000, this is what was in this place, and I spoke to a wonderful man down there called Jack. He's from Belfast. He's working there for the summer. He assisted Cian and me and some of the other boys when stuff happened to them. He was very, very kind. And he said, when you have 4,000 children who drink, drug, don't eat, don't sleep for 5 and 6 days at a time, it's just animal house, you know. So there's no logic. There's no straight thinking. There's just all of this toxic stuff going around in your system. No sleep, no food, no regulation. And the confusion and the chaos that it causes. Right. And you're allowed then back into a nightclub that evening with 6,000 other people, you know. Which I'm not even sure is regulated.
I gather it's 50 quid to get in.
50 quid.
50 quid?
50 quid a night. And they had also all been robbed. All of the boys had been had money taken. Some of the people we met at the airport, some of the people I met last night, the reason they were coming home is because their money had been stolen or lost, or maybe they just spent it all. You know, when you're that drunk and that out of it and you're looking for more and you have money in your pocket, I know myself, you just get more, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's difficult for people to know what to do. But most of the kids that were there are now 18 and adult, you know.
The, I mean, do you feel in a position to give advice now?
Look, I'm always talking because I open my mouth and I say stuff. I've highlighted things in the past about drink, Magdalene Laundry, tomb babies, whatever. I feel that I have to speak about, I do, and this is one thing that I think that. It's important to talk about it. People slag me off for talking about stuff. But, you know, if people are aware of a situation by whatever means, if that's me talking to you or whatever, they can make better decisions, you know.
If you were back to last September and he was telling you he was signing up, would you have said, no, you're not?
I didn't know he was doing it, but I would have said, no, you're not.
And then war, presumably, would have broken out.
And in my own situation, in my case, I always did it anyway. I climbed out the window and went to the hangar ballroom to see Rory Gallagher. Right. And my father said, no, you know.
Bold girl.
Bold girl. I climbed out the window and went to Saltdale. This is like a different country and with thousands of other kids who... But it's the question, why is it like this for them? Why does it have to be like this, you know?
You figure they're a kind of a lost generation.
I do, yeah.
Why? Was it because of the Celtic Tiger? Everything
so
is blamed
on it. Old-fashioned to say, and I find myself feeling like an old woman because I, you know, but I'm not. And I'm very out there in the business all the time. I feel this, that they are hugely isolated, that there's a group of children, and that it's maybe that we haven't noticed how fast that it was happening, you know, with the technology. But I do know that I've talked at parent-teacher meetings with other families, going back to when they were 11 and 12,
yeah,
worrying about the speed and the availability of pornography on the internet, how you put things on your internet, you put things on the computer at home. They know how to get out of them. It's this need that they have to fill their lives with some stuff that they think is cool, you know. But the outcome is, as you said, it's out there. It's there. It's forever on the internet.
That's the thing. Well, now, mind you, there are new rules where you can have things taken down.
There are. I've had things taken down that related to, you know, some stuff regarding him as well before. But it almost comes back to a bullying situation as well. You know, you have to do this. You know, and it's their insecurity, the kids in own insecurity, that drives them, like my other daughter Claire said, to be the most outrageous, the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing that there always has been. You know, the gang, you're part of a gang and you're whatever, a bunch of...
Yeah, and it can be very hard to say, count me out.
It's very, very hard to say, count me out. And but I think...
Though I think if you do it once, it gets easier.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot easier for me and him to realise that when I say no, the next time there are reasons that I say no.
Right, you know? Okay. Somebody else was on to see to say there are parental responsibilities in this. Well, that's what you're just saying.
Yeah.
They give permission and also funding for these trips. Because another article that I read said that one of the travel agents was encouraging the girls, I think it was the girls or maybe it was the girls and the boys, to pay 130 quid for a band that would get you into, I don't know how many clubs or how many bars, but it all seems to hinge around free drink.
It's all, you get a band and you can drink as much as you can for 4 hours or 8 hours or whatever. The thing about the money, I give Cian, I'm really mean and horrible, and I give him 100 euro
right
towards his holiday. I know he had money from that he'd been saving up from other. I didn't know how much money he took down there. I am taking, I'm putting my hands up and saying, I should have known. I should have said no. I should have put my foot down. And in the end, it's kind of, it could have been much worse for me today, sitting here talking to you.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be sitting here if it had been much worse. But I'm thankful that somewhere along the line, they pick up some of what the beliefs that you have and the structures that you put in place, so that they'll go a certain distance and maybe pick up the phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you have to give them as well some
space.
Some space.
Yeah.
But it's what kind of space, but it's also what you provide behind that space, you know, the armband thing is very precarious, and it's a tenner a day, 10 euros a day. It's 10 euros every time you open the safe in the hotel to take money out or put it in.
What?
10 euros for each child. So, and I said, why don't y'all get a big bag and put your envelopes, you know, and you know, it requires a huge effort to go and put your money in and take it out. 10 euros a day to put your money, multiplied by 4,000 kids. The hotel is making money every which way.
It's not a bad do, is it?
And the vodka in the off licenses is 4 euros a litre.
Right. Yeah, but you see, usually on the continent it is very cheap, but people don't drink it. Well, they do drink
it. It comes from they call it a Russian vodka. But there was a thing years ago called Smirnoff Gold, and I don't know whether it was true or not. I don't think I ever had it. But it had pieces of metal in it, and this stuff does, and it cuts the back of your throat, and it gets into your system quicker. And it's been described to me by the guy who worked in the hotel as toilet cleaner, you know. And they're destroying themselves physically.
Right,
know?
Yeah. Mary, you are courageous in speaking the truth about what's going on. Thank God your son knew he could call you. Ignore the negativity from the ones in denial. We're a country where our young people are drowning in extreme alcohol use and high-risk behaviour with serious implications. Another caller says, I think Mary is the ideal person to speak out because she has lived life. I agree with all she's saying. It's very hard for teenagers now, the pressure that comes on them. And another caller said, who's giving the kids the money? Do parents know how to say no? Well, that's all the point you're making. Yeah. Okay, well, listen, I'm delighted that he did ring you.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And we did have a lovely 3 days together walking around while we were waiting for our passports. So that was, you know,
that was good.
He's learned a lesson. And that's the whole point of a mistake, isn't it? That you learn something from it.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Mary Coughlin, thank you very,
thank
very
you,
much.
Mary.
You've done.
Okay.